Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
And welcome to Hagman. It is the Hagman Report for today. It's Monday, December 20th, 2021. HagmanReport.com. Two N's on Hagman. HagmanReport.com. That's where to go for all of your information needs. It's going to be, actually, there's going to be a ton of information, nuggets and articles and links and videos coming to HagmanReport.com this week, which is Christmas week. I want to wish everyone a very Merry Christmas as we head into the holy holidays. Yes, I know Christ was not born on Christmas Day, December 25th. No, I know that. But nonetheless, in Western culture, this is when it's celebrated. I can accept that. Okay.
Where's your pretty face today?
You know, I'm hiding behind a veil of darkness because, Eric the Tech, because today's program is going to be, in my view, one of the most important shows that we've done. All right, here's where I'm coming from. The revolution will not be televised. And in that spirit, nor will I. But there will be a revolution. It will not be televised. We are at the cusp of it. And I want everyone to understand that the hour is late, that people are fixing. They're prepping to take back what the globalists have taken away from us. You know, it's interesting that Biden has been hiding all weekend, and he's going to be addressing the nation tomorrow. And Eric the Tech, what is tomorrow aside from Tuesday, aside from December 21st? What is that? That's... Don't throw things at me. No, it's the winter solstice. Now, okay, so what, right? So what? Well, you know, look, I firmly believe that what we're looking at right now is the mechanics of a, how can I describe this? Aside, I mean, I'm going to sound like a kook, but we're looking at the mechanics of this globalist infrastructure that is steeped in the occult, where children are the currency of the globalists, where you and me, where we are the collateral damage. We are the unwashed masses. We must be just taken out of the equation completely in order for them, the globalists, people such as Bill Gates, the garden gnome, Dr. Anthony Fugazi, Peter Daszak, and all of the others, that you know their names. They want to be small g gods, and we are stopping them. Our nationalism is stopping them. Our patriotism is stopping them, and information that we are not allowed to have is stopping them. The better informed we are, the more threatened they are. We have this week, of course, the Clinton-linked pedophile pimp, Ghislaine Maxwell trial. That's probably going to wrap up this week, I would say, with a verdict. They want to put this behind them as quickly as possible. You know, they've done everything not to make sure that information is not shared from the odd judge to the prosecutor, who is James Comey's daughter, and Ghislaine Maxwell, of course. You know, and the victims. A lot of this trial was very, very narrow. In its prosecution. The prosecution was very narrow against Ghislaine Maxwell. We're never going to get the truth, at least not through normal channels, about Ghislaine Maxwell, Jeffrey Epstein, and that whole pedophilia-soaked the thing. We're not going to get, and how Gates was involved in that, Bill Gates, and how others were involved in this. Again, the children, and in my opinion, based on my research and investigation, Planned Parenthood factors into this as well. You can't forget them. The sale of body parts. But I want to start out real quick here. And again, folks, the revolution will not be televised. As information comes out about what is taking place all across America, really all across the world, you will see how orchestrated everything has been. And by the previous, past, whatever you want to call it, events, where this is headed. Where this is headed, quite simply, without hyperbole, is the death and or subjugation of the entire population of the planet, save for a few. I want to play from the source video. This Clay Clark put this together. And by the way, he's going to be joining me tomorrow briefly. Clay Clark is, he's got some things to say, so I want to give him that audience. But this is excerpted from a video that he did. This is Klaus Schwab. Now, just to set this up briefly, think about what you've been told. Look, there's this virus out there. It's the SARS-CoV-2 virus, all right? It's endangering the population. So we have got to create, develop, and deploy an injection. And we'll call it a vaccine. But it's really not a vaccine. So what is it? What does it do? Let's go right to the horse's mouth, or the horse's ass. Sorry about that. But I've got no use for this guy. I've got no use for this guy at all. This demonic piece of crap. I have got no use for this guy. But listen to what he says specifically about what is being delivered to you. And yes, your children, especially your children. Think about this now. Your children without your consent. And if you refuse, or if you misbehave, or if you object, think of Australia. You're going to be sent to camps. And that's not hyperbole. What do we see in Australia? Sent to camps. What about New York State? How New York State Bill 415 and 416. Did you know right now they're going to be voting on this bill, which was crafted in January of this year. They're going to be voting on this on January 5th of next year. They're going to be voting on its passage. This creates quarantine centers, much like Australia, in New York State for quarantine and this is the all-encompassing phrase, for other reasons. So if you object to the jab in New York State, they're rolling this out through a vote through the state legislature on January 5th. The bill is A415 and 416, but you can look it up. You can look it up yourself. And I'll be citing a few issues or a few points to this bill. But listen to what Klaus Schwab has to say. Source clip one, source clip A, first 20 seconds. Go ahead.
The difference of this forced industrial revolution is it doesn't change what you are doing. It changes you. If you take a genetic editing, right. Just as an example, it's you who are changed. Yeah. And of course, this has a big impact on your identity.
Okay. Did you hear that? I know you heard it, and to those people, you can see it. This changes you and your identity. Now, that's not conspiracy theory. That's right from the horse's ass's mouth. Okay, so what does he mean by that? Well, it's mRNA technology. All right, so here's the other part of this. What we're looking at least in my investigative experience, is a massive crime scene on a global scale. And how we got here is a simple but a convoluted, nonetheless, crime scene, and evolving crime scene even to this day. Now, what I want to do is go to, let's go to clip A. This, folks, listen to this and watch this, but more importantly, listen to this. This is RFK Jr. talking about the intelligence agencies being involved in the development of the bioweaponization of what we are now dealing with as this bioweapon / coronavirus or SARS-CoV-2. And the principles involved in this include, but are not limited to, the NIH, Francis Collins, you know, the guitar playing muck, mope, and Anthony Fauci, and Ralph Baric from the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, to Peter Daszak, to the Wuhan Institute of Virology. You know, I hopefully, Eric the Tech, I won't screw you up here. If you can go to clip D as opposed to clip A, you know, people say, well, the Wuhan lab leak or the Wuhan origins of this virus, this bioweapon, it's all conspiracy theory, hasn't been proved. Well, wait a second. Yes, it has. As a matter of fact, the Anthony Fugazi calls it the Wuhan virus. And it's almost as if you're looking at this from a criminal behavioral profile perspective. Think about it this way. If you watch crime shows, if you watch behavioral profiling shows, whatever, when you listen to these words from Fauci, and I don't know who put this clip up, but nonetheless, it's on Rumble. I'll put a link in the program description box. Listen to what he says. And there, perhaps there's a moment of clarity here. Maybe not clarity, but, you know, some might call it a Freudian slip. But let's go ahead and play the 19-second clip D. This is Fauci speaking, and listen to his words. Go ahead.
That even though the vaccine is not directed specifically at Delta, it's directed against the ancestral strain, the Wuhan strain. Yet when you get your levels of antibody high enough, you protect against Delta, the Wuhan strain, the Wuhan strain, okay. The Wuhan strain.
There you
because
go.
I represent.
And he says, I represent science. The Wuhan strain, the Wuhan strain, the Wuhan strain. Folks, I cannot tell you strong enough. What we are witnessing is a crime against humanity on a global scale. Involved in this crime are the same people who were involved in the coup, not on 1/6, but on 11/3. The very people who pushed Donald Trump out on 11/3 and took over, installed this Muppet puppet, Biden, who is still in hiding, but will address the nation tomorrow, winter solstice, about more draconian lockdowns and the threat that the unjabbed will face death, suffering and death. Is that a warning? Whose side is this Muppet, this Mr. Potato Head on? Okay, now let's go to clip A. This is so important when you look at the run-up to what we're seeing. This bioweapon was released, exploited, massaged, managed, and is taking down many. Look, this is, people will say, well, it really doesn't exist. Well, look, the genome sequence, and I, you know what? I know far too much about the inner workings of this. I'm not a scientist. You know what? Here's what I am. I'm an investigator. That's all I am. That's all I know how to do. And I know how to investigate, interview, even interrogate. And I know how to ferret the truth out and to find out, to identify perps, to identify witnesses, and to interview witnesses, to interrogate suspects. I've been there. I've done it 35 years. Okay, so I know what I'm talking about in this realm here. I'm not a journalist, despite what, you know, no, I'm not that. My wife says, you know, you can do a couple of things good. Well, pardon my grammar. You can do a couple of things, about two things well. And one is you're a good investigator, exceptionally good investigator. And I like to think I am. So let me investigate. And I'm investigating. And I'm finding things out. And I'm, in fact, when my wife was in the hospital, and she's home now. By the way, thank you very much for your prayers. You're so appreciated. She is recovering. But I must add this one thing, which goes into the larger perspective of how the system, especially the healthcare system, want to rid the older, the infirmed, want to rid the planet of anyone who's got a problem, including, you know, medical problems, the older, the infirmed, the incapacitated, whatever. You know, and this just blew my mind. It really blew my mind. I'm going to tell you of a conversation that I didn't have, but I will have at some point. You know, my wife just having been discharged, really, I brought her home from the hospital. They gave her, now again, she's, she was like 2 days post-op, and it was a, you know, significant abdominal operation, right? So they sent her home to manage the pain that she is in. And let me tell you, there's a lot of pain involved here. They sent her home with eight pain pills. And not even the, not Oxycontin, not, you know, nothing major. Eight. Actually, 2 days worth, right? You take actually 4 a day, and so 8, 2 days. Well, she's still in pain. So I contacted the doctor and said, look, can we have it like another 2 days? I mean, is that possible? 2 days of pain meds? Well, you know, we really don't want to risk the potential addiction. All right, now my wife is not in high school. She's not, you know, she's not a drug seeker. She's a couple of days post-op. And they're rationing pain medication as if it is, I don't know, plutonium or some sort of contraband. So here's the conversation I did not have, but I'm going to have. The individual making that decision, whether or not they want to give her another 2 days worth of relief, to that individual, I will contact that individual and I will find out where that individual, where his office is or who it is and where it is. And I'll say, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to come down there with a hammer, a ball peen hammer, and I'm going to turn your right knee into nothing but pieces of bone. Okay, now follow me on this. Because I'm looking at my wife who is suffering, who is in pain from a legitimate surgery. So I'm going to turn your right knee into, it's going to be like shattered glass with my hammer. I'm going to do that. And then when you say, ouch, it hurts, and you're going to say, ouch, it hurts, I'm going to say, well, you know what? Why don't you take a couple of Advil? Or why don't you take a couple of Tylenol? But then I'm going to do this. I'm going to take some, maybe, I don't know, some whatever pain medication there might be. What do they use for pain? You know, what is that? Whatever. And I'm going to tie one tablet as you're writhing in pain from the knee I just turned into shattered glass. And I'm going to put that on a piece of cellophane tape. And then tie that to a fishing line. And as you're writhing in pain, I'm going to say, here, you can have this. Oops, I dropped it. And as you're trying to crawl for relief, I'm going to be pulling that across the floor. Just so you understand, the word pain. And quite frankly, if I really wanted to get pain medication, all I have to do is go down to the local high school or middle school, and I hear there's enough down there to take care of the whole process. Because, you know, the war on drugs and everything, it's so damn successful. But I've got story after story. I did spend some time doing some investigative research while my wife was in the hospital, and I did find some files, and I did, you know, look, I've got some information that has yet to come out. I'm putting it together, and when I do, all right, people are going to be surprised, because I am surprised at really the system. But I digress, because, you know, the war on drugs, God forbid pain management is a real thing. God forbid that as much as I hate to say this, senior citizens deprived of pain medication, you wouldn't want them to get addicted now, would you? All right, look, I get the fact, but because a couple of morons or a bunch of morons decide to overdose on heroin, which is laced with fentanyl from China or whatever, the legitimate patients suffer. It's wrong. It's wrongly executed. This war on terrorism, the war on drugs, you know, it's all bull crap. It's wrong. If you've got a legit, especially a couple of days post-op. I mean, seriously? So yeah, here's what I'll do. We're going to put your hand in a blender or down a garbage disposal. And after we get done with that, turning your hand or arm into Hamburg, let's talk about pain management, shall we? Morons. All right. I really digressed on that because I'm passionate. I don't want to see my loved ones in pain. Do you? And I am sure there are listeners out there and viewers out there who know exactly what I'm talking about. All right. Getting back to the crime scene that is this bioweapon and how this was all planned out. You heard Klaus Schwab, World Economic Forum. This is going to change you. We are going to change you. That's what we're going to do. Now, RFK. And folks, if you haven't got RFK's book, look, I have no... I don't agree with RFK Jr. with much, okay? I really don't. I mean, I like the guy. I respect the guy. But we have some serious disagreements. And it's okay. It's okay. We can. But I know people like Celia Farber, who contributed heavily to that book with research. I know. I have had some dialogue with RFK Jr. But I would recommend everyone get his book, The Real Dr. Fauci. I really, and if you're, folks, listen to me. It's a $3 download, $3 download. Now, I'm going to make an offer here. How can I do this? If you're a member of Patreon, or if you have supported this broadcast, I will do my best to get you a copy. Just send me an email, doug@hagmanreport.com. All right. You know, I'll pay the $3 and send you the download. All right, I will. But you've got to get this in everyone's hands. This gives you the backdrop. But anyway, here is RFK Jr. I believe this was on the War Room. You've got to hear this because the U.S. Intelligence Agency, they were involved with the Wuhan leak, the Wuhan development more specifically and more accurately.
How does Tony found?
Okay, sorry. Go ahead.
Fauci takes stage and become the calming influence, and then I guess either transitions, or I want you to walk us through it. When do you believe he starts making these kind of dictates and diktats, particularly around vaccines, lockdowns, and all that, sir?
Well, it's a big question, and the last chapter of my book, which I think is really one of the most revelatory chapters, shows that the Event 201, which was this pandemic simulation, which was really a blueprint for how do you use the pandemic as a pretense for imposing totalitarian controls and obliterating democracy and constitutional rights. If you go to Seminar 4, which you can go to, you have all of these people talking about how do we stop social media, talking about chatter that this may be a lab leak. Oh, and then as soon as, so 2 months later, the rest of the world finds out about coronavirus. And a lot of the people who were part of Event 201 now run into key places, now move into key places in government to manage the coronavirus response. So they've been schooled that the way that you respond to a public health crisis is by imposing totalitarian controls. What I found when I was writing the book, which I detail, is this was not a one-off event. They were doing these drills, these pandemic simulations for 20 years, beginning in 1999. They did an anthrax simulation called Dark Winter, and a few months later, we have the anthrax attacks on our country, which justify the justify the passage of the Patriot Act and the invasion of Iraq. And it later, when it's too late, the FBI investigation finds it did not come from Iraq. It came from one of three U.S. military labs. So there was clearly somebody from the U.S. military who was involved in this, or the intelligence agencies. Now, what you see is year after year following that, we have the rise of the biosecurity agenda, which replaces the Islamic terrorist agenda. So biosecurity officially becomes the spear tip of American foreign policy. And every year they're doing these pandemic simulations, which now involve hundreds of thousands of people, we understand. They were secret, but they were bringing in people from police departments, from hospital systems, frontline workers, from all over the country, utility people, oil company executives and workers who are all involved in these pandemics, which each one of them drilled. They never talk about public health. They never talk about how to repurpose medications, how to quarantine the sick, how to get people to eat vitamin D and zinc and exercise and build their immune system. There's none of that discussion. It's all about how do you use a pandemic as a pretense to obliterate democracy. And they were doing it simultaneously in the U.S., Canada, Australia, and all the countries in Europe. And each one of them had a figurehead. So they brought in somebody who was really kind of a useful idiot, somebody who would give the imprimatur of legitimacy. So Madeleine Albright or Senator Gary Hart or Senator Sam Nunn or some congressman or Bill Gates, so that everybody would say, hey, this is kind of weird what we're doing. But if that person thinks it's okay, it must be okay. And they were drilling year after year how to use the pandemic when it does come. Now, where did Tony Fauci come from? Tony Fauci, after the anthrax attacks, the Pentagon began and the CIA began funneling huge amounts of money to bioweapons development. So we had shut down bioweapons development, although the CIA continued to illegally do it. The Pentagon stopped doing it in 1972.
I just want to make sure. We signed a treaty that said we were out of that business. One of the big controversies about the CCP and how they've gotten involved in this. Just give me the fact that backs up the fact that the CIA, maybe even the Pentagon, over and above or outside the treaty we signed with no offensive bio, we're only supposed to have bioweapons defense, not an offensive capability. Why do you say they've been developing bioweapons?
You can stop it right there. This goes on, and this is extracted or actually part of his book, The Real Anthony Fauci, and you can read about it. It's in the chapter called Germ Games. And one of the statements, this goes back to the initial Klaus Schwab statement, is this. And I quote from Klaus Schwab from July of 2020. Many of us are pondering when things will return to normal. The short response is never. Nothing will ever return to the broken sense of normalcy that prevailed prior to the crisis because the coronavirus pandemic marks a fundamental inflection point in our global trajectory. Huh? So what he's saying is, no, you're not going to have your life back. It ain't happening. And you've got to really think about that. John Moore, thelibertyman.com. I've got to tell you, of all the guests that I have on, John is probably one of the most read in to how things are going on the ground, as well as, you know, in the investigative circles surrounding this. If you haven't done so already, go to thelibertyman.com and bookmark that website. Before I bring John on, I want to tell you that today's episode is sponsored by Honey. We all shop online, and we've seen a promo code field that taunts us at checkout. But thanks to Honey, manually searching for coupon codes is a thing of the past. Thankfully, Honey is the free browser extension that scours the internet for promo codes and applies the best one it finds to your cart. And you know, as you shop for Christmas online, if that's what you do, this is absolutely necessary. You need Honey. And here's how it works. Just imagine you're shopping at one of your favorite sites. And when you check out, the Honey button drops down. And all you have to do is click Apply Coupons. It's just that simple. Wait a few seconds. And you know what? Honey will find, if they have coupons by the site, Honey will find the best one. It'll find the best working coupon. And you can watch the prices drop. Honey saved us on everything from food deliveries. And last week, we saved, I don't know, a few dollars there. And every few dollars counts. Plus, on an equipment purchase, I did look this up, and it was $65.67. That's $65.67 on a purchase. And that represented right around 12% savings, thanks to Honey. It's amazing. Honey has found its over 17 million members some $2 billion in savings. Count them. That's B, as billion with a B. Now, if you don't already have Honey, you could be straight up missing out on free savings. It's literally free. It installs it in a few seconds. And by getting it, you're going to be doing yourself a solid, as well as supporting this broadcast. That's right. Get Honey for free at joinhoney.com/Hagman. Remember, two N's on Hagman. That's joinhoney.com/Hagman. And I want to thank them for being great sponsors and offering a great service to our listeners and viewers. All right. One thing, I kind of want to switch gears a little bit because I was talking with Steve Quayle over the weekend. And actually, I was listening and he was giving me some information. And I think that John having the background and the experience in the military, I wanted to get his take on this. What's happening as Russia is actually pushing up missiles to Ukraine and other areas, and as we see Iran saber rattling, as we see things kind of breaking down all across the world, and especially the Middle East, Russia, the South China Sea, all of this. What's America? Where's America's military? What's the state of readiness of America's military? Do you know? Well, we have an update for you. We do. We here it is, right here, Eric the Tech. I don't know whether you do. You know which one I'm talking about? The video clip I'm talking about, the first one I sent to you today. Yes. All right. This, I'm really anxious to get John's take on this. And this is the destruction of our military from within. Look, folks, I know you know this. I know you've seen it. But listen to this. Watch this. If you are capable of, you know, if you're not driving or if you're not just listening to this by way of podcast, watch it too, because it does have some impact, visual impact. But at least listen to these words. This is very, very blunt and very important. Go ahead and roll this. Hang on a second here. Whoops. Did I send you the End of clip. Here it is. Tucker Carlson.
Brady is Joe Biden's nominee for vice chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. So this is one of the people overseeing our nation's entire military. At a recent hearing, Grady, who is apparently an admiral of some kind, explained his plan to make our military competitive with China.
How will you implement women, peace, and security within the joint staff?
Yes, thank you. The role of a gender advisor is a way to attack a very significant issue, and if confirmed, I look forward to leveraging those advisors who can make me think better and smarter about the issues that that you raise. So I look forward to, if confirmed, understanding that ecosystem and helping advance that cause going forward.
So Christopher Grady leverages things in the ecosystem that he inhabits. No, he's not a McKinsey consultant. Again, this guy claims to be an admiral. The question really is, will the gender advisors Christopher Grady's in favor of make our military better, more fearsome? Jesse Kelly served in the military. He's the host of the Jesse Kelly Show, and we are grateful to have him tonight. So Jesse, really simple. Do you think the key to remaining competitive with the Chinese military is more gender advisors?
Oh, there's no question, Tucker. I mean, China right now and Russia, they're both testing hypersonic missiles that can turn New York City to ash. Russia is actually developing and has developed satellites that can push our satellites out of orbit and completely cripple our military. Our military, though, they're focused on the important things. We want to focus on climate change, and we definitely have to make sure there are enough tampons in the restrooms at the Pentagon.
That's kind of what they're saying. I mean, I don't know. There's a psychological term for this, and it escapes my memory at the moment. But where there's a massive real threat that you can't deal with, so you scurry off and deal with imaginary threats to make yourself feel in control. That kind of feels like what we're watching.
Well, what we're watching is the destruction of the U.S. military, and what we're going to end up seeing, Tucker, is thousands, tens of thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of Americans die. Those are the stakes right of the game we're playing here. We don't need a military that's woman-friendly. We don't need a military that's gay-friendly, with all due respect to the Air Force. We need a military that's flat-out hostile. We need a military full of type A men who want to sit on a throne of Chinese skulls. But we don't have that now. We can't even get women off of naval vessels. That should be step one, but most of them are already pregnant anyway.
John,
so this Grady
you?
Character who's going to leverage things in the ecosystem was just confirmed today. So you wonder about our political leaders who oversee our military by definition. Are they not interested in defending the country?
No, they don't have any love of country. Tucker, you and I have talked about this privately 100 times and on your show 100 times. That's really the problem that plagues America. Our admirals now, too, our generals, our politicians who appoint these people, everything is political. The United States right. military to them is a way to do woman outreach or gay outreach. They don't even consider looking at the military and protecting America because they don't give a crap about America. They're going to sit and blood suck it for every dime they can and then pass it on to their useless kids to do the same thing once they're gone.
I would correct you. I don't think a lot of them have kids, but otherwise, I agree with you 100%. Sadly.
Okay. Now, did he hold back? You got to love that. Because the way I look at it is men, and I mean men like John Moore, who was out in the rice paddies of Vietnam, who was there during the Tet Offensive, who fought for this country, who sweat and bled for this country. That admiral just slapped him across the face, and every person who served with the intent of preserving and protecting our country and our Constitution, that admiral and the people installing the brass just slapped John Moore and everyone who served us well, across the face. With me is John Moore, thelibertyman.com, thelibertyman.com. Bookmark that website. Please support John. And look, he's got a radio show 3 hours a day, Monday through Friday. And I'm going to tell you something. If you're not listening to John and his guests, you're missing out. And I just want to punch in here and say, Ricky, thank you. I know it's for supper. God bless you, Ricky, and God bless John Moore. John, come on in, man. Let's talk.
Thank you, Doug. Good to be here. I had a break-in service from, I left active duty in 1970, went back into the U.S. Army Special Forces, 12th Special Forces Group, 1979. At the time, I was looking for a hobby and having the taxpayers to pay for it, having fun adventures, rappelling off of cliffs and doing night patrols and things like that, and it worked out pretty good. I left Special Forces and went back into my old, my exact old outfit from Vietnam, the 10th Psychological Operations Battalion. That's when I came to realize everything had changed. There was no women in Special Forces back then. None, nada. But we had quite a few in the psychological operations. I recall we were on a training operation patrolling through the woods, and this female staff sergeant, that would be a Sergeant E6, was holding her rifle with her fingernails, her fingers sticking straight out instead of gripping the M16 properly like a soldier should. So I said, Sergeant, what are you doing? And she says, oh, I'm drying my fingernail polish.
Now you got guys doing that, or I use that term guys loosely. Now you got whatever doing that. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I started talk radio in 1985, part-time. During that period of time, those first 5 years, I interviewed the authors of a couple of books warning about bringing women into the Corps. When I say into the Corps, into all the services except for their traditional role in the medical field, where they have served with honor and distinction for more than a century. Integrating them into the core of the Army, Air Force, Navy, Marines, Coast Guard, and the dangers that that would bring with it. There were a number of officers, field grade officers primarily. A field grade officer would be major, a lieutenant colonel, and a colonel, field grade officers, who spoke out about the dangers of bringing women into the core. Their careers were wiped out. They were destroyed. Everybody in the military paid attention that if you speak up and say the right thing about women coming into the Corps, you will not have a career as an officer in the U.S. military. End of story. There's no appeal for that. None at all. No appeal. So here we are 40 years later, and what have we got? We got women left to right, top to bottom, including combat positions, by the way, which was resisted for a long time, but now they're, and as far as I know, they're in most combat positions if they choose to be. And it's been an absolute disaster. It has been an absolute disaster. The accommodation of the females in the field causes all kinds of logistical issues. These ships go to sea with women who are not pregnant, and come back with women that are pregnant. The thought that military discipline can overcome the hormones of healthy young men and women in their 20s and 30s is a fantasy. Military discipline cannot overcome the hormones of healthy young men and women in their 20s and 30s, even their 40s, as far as that goes. And even let's throw in the teenagers, too. We got teenagers in the military, 18, 19 years old. 17 in some cases.
This is the destruction of our military.
It is, by design.
Yeah, by design.
By design. This is nothing happenstance about this. It is absolutely by design. In the meantime, our primary enemy, the People's Liberation Army of China, the PLA, is emphasizing very strongly that the male soldiers should be manly men. Right. They do not tolerate any of the damaging, destructive behaviors that are taking place in the U.S. military. They simply don't allow it. It's not allowed.
Wow.
No other military has females in direct combat situations that I'm aware of, especially major militaries like the people that were going to be fighting the Chinese and the Russians. They simply don't do it. People point out to what Israel did in 1947. Israel was a small country of several million people surrounded by more than 100 million screaming Muslims that wanted to kill all of them. So yes, in 1947, women were in combat positions. That's no longer the case. Women in the Israeli military serve with honor and distinction in positions in the military where they will not be intentionally exposed to combat. That's what modern militaries do. They make use of the female's best abilities, their skill sets, primarily in the medical field. And that's where they can and should be serving, in my opinion, and not in situations that will intentionally expose them to combat.
Well, if I can, let's look at the broader picture here, because this seems to be an outgrowth or a consequence of the culture rot here in America and throughout the West. So you've got this deliberate, and forgive me, I'll just summarize this real quick here. You've got this deliberate assault on our culture, people telling us that, hey, you know, if you identify as a female, you can be a female. You can be an effeminate female, right? Or you can, if you identify as whatever you identify with, everyone has gone absolutely bonkers, at least on the left, or the leftist, progressive, liberal, whatever that communist mindset might be, as a stepping stone to a satanic globalism. So you're adulterating, or you're neutralizing our ability to live a godly Christian life, to speak the truth, that male, that, you know, if you're born with a if you're born with external plumbing, you're a male. Internal, you're a female. And you know, so everything is upside down and backwards, and specifically upside down, or a mirror image, shall we say, as the satanic would use. So this is all part, I mean, it's deeper than that. It goes through our entire culture, but it's most apparent in our ability to protect ourselves in the military. So exactly. You're exactly. And you've been saying this for a long time.
I said, I started interviewing these authors of these books in the mid to late 1980s. 1990s. I said 1980. Begin 1995. That's when I started radio, 1995, not 85. So it's quite a while ago. I saw the inherent dangers immediately. Hollywood movies have given a lot of young girls the belief that they can do athletically what men can do. Well, they can't. The percentage of women that can perform with even an average man in the military athletically is so tiny, it's almost non-existent, maybe 2%, maybe. And that's quite frankly optimistic. Women simply do not have the upper body strength of men. They don't, they won't, they can't. That's not who they are. And the lack of upper body strength in combat will just flat get you killed, or your buddy who you can't pick up and carry to an aid station. I'll give some concrete examples here. Let's look at West Point, for example. If you see the West Point cadets on the 20th day of December 2021 on the parade field with rifles, they're carrying the M14 rifle, which is what I use in basic training, an excellent battle rifle, even today, all these decades later. A friend of mine, a captain in U.S. Army Special Forces, he was in the 12th group, he happened to be a cadet at West Point when the first female cadets showed up at West Point, first cadet female cadets ever in the long history of West Point. Now, they did a nationwide search to find very bright, very athletic 18-year-old young women, and they did. They found the brightest and the most athletic 18-year-old young women in the United States, high school senior girls that were motivated, athletic young ladies. So they brought them there, and the first day they were issued the M14 rifles, and they had to do what's called the manual of arms. They found out that not a single one of these young ladies was strong enough to do the manual of arms. In particular, one move if you ever watch the changing of the guard at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier, they do this with the M14. They do the manual of arms, including inspection arms. So when the guard is being changed at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier, the guard coming on duty, has his rifle inspected by the watch commander to make sure that the rifle is clean and in good condition and ready to be used to guard the tomb. In order to do this, the soldier holding the rifle to be inspected, he holds the entire weight of the rifle with his left hand, and then using the knife edge of his right hand, pushes the bolt to the rear, reaches over the top with his thumb, and pushes a little lever that holds that bolt in the open position before he hands it to the inspecting watch commander. None of the girls could do this. None of the young ladies had the upper body strength to do that. So we got a quandary here, which continues to this day, by the way. That was in the mid-1970s. The commandant of the West Point required all cadets to do the manual of arms. So that's not going to go away. The young ladies can't get any stronger. These healthy 18-year-old young ladies, they're as strong as they're going to get. Number two can't be changed. Number three, Congress requires the women to be there. That's not going to change. We have number four left that could be changed, the rifle itself. What they did then, and these same rifles are still being issued in 2021, on August the 21st, 2021, this is the 20th, not the 21st, excuse me. They took the rifles for the females to the armorer and said, Mr. Armorer, we need you to cut sections out of the recoil spring to make it weak enough that the young ladies, the female cadets, can push that bolt back and push that little lever so the bolt remains in the open position. That's what they did. That's what they did in the mid-1970s.
Oh, we, you got cut out there. We're going to get you right back here. But you know, it blows my mind when I hear stuff like this, like John's talking about. You've got this push for transgenders in the military. You've got this push for making the military more woke. And you know, you saw the reaction in the interview with Tucker Carlson. Let me know when he's back. Eric the Tech, just chime in there. And you do a search, and this is very interesting how Google, for example, which I never use as a search engine, how they glorify this transgender in the military. But at the heart of all of this, again, this is an agenda of destruction being pushed upon America and really the West, and striking at our defenses, that being the military. But even equally important, and I guess the military, obviously the military is extremely important, but equally important is our culture. And again, you've got this push toward the normalizing the transgender / if feminization of our military. And there's more of a focus on making it a kinder, more gentle environment for the perversions of a few, to satisfy the perversions of a few at the expense of everyone. Now, what does this have to do with, for example, a revolution? Because I open up, the revolution will not be televised. Well, it's really simple. America and the West is under assault, and everything that we're seeing, everything that we have seen really over the last couple of decades, if you go back to, you can even go back as far as, you can go back as far as you want, but Oklahoma City, 9/11 or 1993, World Trade Center bombing, of course, that softened us up for the Islamic element, but that was a complete operation of the FBI using real bomb materials when in fact they shouldn't have. In it's kind of like a precursor to the Gretchen Whitmer kidnapping plot. You had FBI agents stumbling over other FBI agents and unwitting Islamic terrorists, domestic terrorists, of course. using, or, you know, saying, hey, we need to blow up a federal building, and then the FBI supplying them with a real, or I'm sorry, the World Trade Center and the FBI supplying them with real explosives and advance to Oklahoma City and advance to the first World Trade Center bombing in 93 and then 95, the Oklahoma City bombing. And of course, steeping, prepping the landscape for domestic terrorism. I don't want to miss John. I don't want to keep him off. So we got him? Oh, okay. John, come on back. I was just filling some time here, giving some history. So
Come on back. Thank you. Okay. Now I'm going to make a very strong, very powerful statement. This concerns the Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, Coast Guard, and the new Space Force. Every physical standard, and I repeat, every physical standard and requirement was either changed or eliminated to accommodate the women. Everyone. And the women have different standards. For the ones that weren't eliminated, such as running, the women don't have to run as fast as the men for any given age group. And each age group has its own standards from, it's basically broken down, I think, 10 years at a time, I believe. I don't recall the exact number, but about every 10 years, the standards get reduced because 50-year-olds are not going to have the same physical abilities as a 20-year-old. I mean, that's almost universally true.
I'll give you a couple. Stop right there. So we see more outrage today, which you just mentioned here. We see more outrage today with women's sports, you know, transgendered, whatever you call them, athletes engaging, you know, men saying, okay, I'm a woman, and engaging in women's sports and then just beating the women. And the women are outraged over this. We see more outrage there than we do about our own military. Go ahead, sir.
We do. Absolutely. I'll give a couple of crystal clear examples that I'm personally aware of. When I went through basic training at Fort Leonard, Missouri, the winter of 1967, all soldiers in the U.S. Army to graduate from basic training had to do the following, or they weren't allowed to graduate from basic training. And this was it. You pick up a soldier of equal weight, so I weighed at the time, I think, 155 pounds. I had to pick up another soldier, give or take maybe 10 pounds of my own weight, and carry that soldier, fireman's carry, for a quarter mile around a quarter mile track. That was a requirement. It was not optional. Almost no women can do that. Almost none can do that. So that requirement has been done away with. Now, at the time, in 1967, everybody in charge of military, flag-rank officers, they were all World War II veterans. Every flag-rank officer was a World War II veteran. The majority of field-grade officers were either World War II or Korea or both. These were tough guys that had been through war, and they knew that if a soldier wasn't strong enough to pick up his buddy that was injured and get him back to an aid station, the buddy was going to bleed out and die. It's pretty basic stuff. Another requirement, throwing a hand grenade. Every soldier had to be able to throw a hand grenade far enough that it didn't hurt himself when it exploded. That's pretty basic stuff, pretty fundamental. Well, since very few women, there are some, very few women have the upper body strength to throw a hand grenade far enough away from them so that when it blows up, it won't hurt them. That requirement has been done away with in basic training. Those are just two examples, Doug, of the reduction of the standards in our military to accommodate the females.
Wow. And even the, look, I'll even say not only the females, but the effeminate males, you know. So, yes, and as you said, this is the deliberate destruction of our military from within. And you know what? It's part of a grander, bigger design objective. So, yeah, go ahead, sir. Continue.
Okay.
Okay, John, we're having some issues. All right. Eric the Tech, just yell. when he's back. But you know, again, we're looking looking at a multifaceted assault against the West, against America. And you know, I had mentioned Klaus Schwab, or I came out of the gate with Klaus Schwab. People are starting to wake up about things that are taking place. Dr. Eli David had written recently, in fact, earlier today, on social media, saying the personal observation, a growing number of friends and colleagues are starting to question the official COVID narrative and compliance with government restrictions. It's rapidly declining. So when you start adding up, like elements of a crime scene, if you look at a crime scene, a hat next to a drop, is he back? Okay, a hat next to a drop of blood is, you know, you have to look at them individually, but collectively as a larger crime scene. Okay, glad to have you back. Go ahead, sir.
Okay. Oh, now, the Green Beret sergeants in charge of being the instructors at the Green Beret qualification course called the Q course, they were told by their officers, well, these women showed up for the Q course, qualification course, gentlemen, these women will pass. Gentlemen, these women will pass.
All right.
Same thing with the Army Rangers. Gentlemen, these women will pass. What was that woman's, the actress, was her name? Oh, Demi Moore. She made that movie where allegedly this female in the film passed the Navy SEAL qualification course, the BUDS course, BUDS, Bravo Uniform Delta Sierra. Another fantasy. They made it look like this girl, she had her hair cut short, and she's working so hard, she's sweating, she's hurting, she's sweating, she's sleep deprived, and she's tough, and she made it. There's no woman that's going to pass the Q course. Just like there's not going to be a woman who's going to be a running back on the NFL or a college team. My grandson, if it wasn't for COVID, he would be playing professional football right now, but they canceled the tryouts. He's doing quite well, and I'm really proud of the boy. But in high school in the state of Washington, they have a rule that if you want to be a football player, boy or girl, you will be issued a uniform. And the coach doesn't have any choice about that. So there was about, I don't have a head count, but I would say 75 or 80, maybe more, young boys, boys and a few females who were issued a uniform on his high school football team. And these women, young women, it was humiliating and embarrassing to watch them attempt to run. And I asked my grandson, what do you think about this woman? And he says, well, the simple answer was, she can't run. Well, she couldn't run. I saw her attempt to run, but she never set foot on the football field during a game, ever. And she shouldn't. Female anatomy is not meant to take the equivalent, during training especially, of maybe a dozen 10-mile-an-hour head-on traffic collisions in one afternoon, which I played football. And a woman's fallopian tubes is not meant to take that kind of punishment. They aren't, and they won't.
Okay, John, you know, I think we can make that case. But you know what I'm looking at? I'm looking at something a little bit deeper. What is it, and I'm going to ask you this, what is it about the male, the men of the world, the men of America, to allow a woman into combat, into contact sports, into positions where they could get hurt? I mean, as a man, as a father, as a husband, I would never allow my wife or my daughter to engage in something that could, where they could sustain long-term harm. You know, I feel the need to be a father.
Let me help you out here.
Or a man.
I was on the football field when my son played his very last high school football game. And I was maybe 50 feet away from the parents of this female football player, and they were so happy and overjoyed that their daughter had finished her high school football career, despite the fact that she never, ever set foot on the football field during a game. ever. And in fact, most of the boys didn't either, because the majority of them had no business being out there as well. They simply weren't young men that could be football players. It takes a certain amount of physical toughness and desire to be a football player at any level, high school or otherwise. And these young men simply didn't have that ability compared to the other young men who were, in fact, on the field playing games. And there's been a fundamental change, getting back to your question, Doug, in our society that somehow, some way, is giving the same value to the life and the health of a young woman that a young man has. That's not Western values, not Western tradition. Western values, and in fact, even primitive tribes in the Amazon, the warriors protect the women. Yeah. That's what primitive tribes in the Amazon do. It's not just Western values involving Christianity. It's what men do and have done for tens of thousands of years. We protect the women. Exactly. That's what we do.
Yep.
And something's changed, Doug. And it's counter to basic human instinct, which for tens of thousands of years of recorded and unrecorded history has been for the men to protect the women.
That's changed.
It's changed. And not for the good. Not for the better. Not for the better at all.
No. And that's the bigger... So the bigger issue here is the value system, the culture, and the... go ahead. I mean, this is all part...
Well, I don't need to drag Christianity into this. It's not necessary. Every religion I'm aware of, the men protect the women.
Right.
Every culture, except ours, every culture in the world, the men protect the women. And there was a exercise done in Korea. The exercise was to prepare to go to war against North Korea. And they made it very as realistic as they could. I think this was in the mid to late 1980s. It may have been in the 90s. Doesn't matter. The whole exercise was screwed up because the men were taking valuable time to prepare for war against North Korea to protect the women and help evacuate them out of the potential war zone.
Mm-hmm.
Now, General Wainwright was in charge of Corregidor when the Japanese were attacking. General MacArthur had been evacuated against his will. He would have stayed, but they didn't want MacArthur captured. General Wainwright was put in charge. He wrote a book about the whole deal at Corregidor, and here's what he said. If it wasn't for the 300 or 400 nurses that I had there, I would not have surrendered. That's why he surrendered. They had these massive tunnels that they were occupying as a defensive position. And he wasn't going to surrender, but because of the women and his desire to protect the women, and quite frankly, in hindsight, it was the right thing to do. I'm not criticizing General Wainwright at all, or his decision at all. It was an unfortunate circumstance that happened, and I dated the daughter of one of the survivors of the Bataan Death March, a Filipino soldier. And he was a basic training sergeant in the U.S. Army at Fort Bragg when I was, I really didn't date his daughter. I just had coffee with her a couple of times. I would have liked to, but she was interested in somebody else. But I was at Fort Bragg on duty, and I happened to look out the window of this intelligence office I was working in, and I see this sergeant marching his troops down the street. Their rifles had fixed bayonets with no scabbards on them. And Doug, that's not done in the Army. Doug, that is not done in the U.S. Army. You don't march soldiers down the street with fixed bayonets and no scabbards. That simply is not, it wasn't done then, it's not done now. But I have to mention, they've discontinued bayonet training, by the way, in the U.S. Army.
Of course, of course.
It's not because women can't do it. The physical exertion of, well, actually, bayonet training includes the use of the
weapon as a club, the discipline use of the weapon as a club, which is part of bayonet training. And maybe the women can't do that either. But I recall bayonet training, and in fact, it taught me skills that I still, when I went to Europe to be awarded the Prague Peace Prize a few years ago, I brought a collapsible cane that would fit into my suitcase, and my bayonet training would be applicable to using the cane as a weapon to thrust and lunge and parry and so forth. So it was good training. And it helped me become a alpha male warrior. I already had the beginnings of an alpha male warrior as a football player. Now, football is controlled combat. That's all football is. It's controlled combat.
Sure.
That's all it is.
At least the football that you and I know. I don't want to spend too much more time on this, but we know that this has been a dedicated assault on our military. And when you look at the bigger picture, what do we see?
Well, here's where it comes from. The House Armed Services Committee, they're the ones that authorize the money for the military. They're the ones that call the shots. And the communists managed to take control of the House Armed Services Committee, and that's what changed everything at every level in all branches of the military was the House Armed Services Committee, along with the Senate Armed Services Committee.
Sure.
But the House, since they control the check writing and the money, they're the big dog in that fight.
Well, as detectives, investigators, who now you say the House and Senate Armed Services Committee, but really, who do we look at as the suspects attempting to take down, dismantle the Western societies, but specifically America?
It's part of the overall international communist conspiracy. Of course it is. And the communists have thoroughly taken over large parts of the United States Congress and large parts of the U.S. Senate. Not completely, but damn near, especially the House of Representatives. So, if you want to look at the root cause of all this, you'd look to the House Armed Services Committee and go from there.
Okay, all right. Because now this kind of springboards into this my next intellectual step. You know, you look at, you mentioned the House Armed Services Committee. We'll look at the House. You look at Eric Swalwell sleeping with a Chinese spy. You know, Feng Fang, Fang Fang, Bang Bang, whatever. Okay, and he's still on the Intelligence Committee. The
information that goes through Swalwell's hands, it's eyes only. It is of some of the most sensitive information regarding the U.S. national security that there is. It passes through the House Armed Services Committee. The House Intelligence Committee.
Right.
Strictly need-to-know basis. To have him sleeping with a Chinese spy is unacceptable. That's grounds for an investigation and criminal prosecution, in my opinion. Absolutely.
I agree. And okay, now let's kind of methodically move forward. You know, over the weekend, and you know, people have to understand, at least in my view, John, of how this bioweapon, the release of the bioweapon, under the cloak of gain of function studies, you know, defensive bioweapon research, which it was not. So all of this, and now fast forward to today here, in 2020, the waning days of, or I'm sorry, 2021, the waning days of 2021. We saw this weekend an unvaxxed or an individual at Panera Bread in Brooklyn, where he was, I don't know, taken down by half a dozen cops because, well, you know, he didn't show his vax passport. Okay, we're seeing, and the reason I mentioned this in this fashion is now.
Hello, Doug.
Yes, hello.
Hello, Doug.
Hello, Doug.
Hello, Doug.
Can you hear me?
I hear you now.
All right.
Well, that's unacceptable. That sounds like something would happen in Australia, not New York City.
Right.
Well, tomorrow's a big day for make-believe President Biden's speech about the new Omicron variant and the necessary measures to fight the make-believe Omicron variant. I can't wait to hear that, Doug. Can you?
I mentioned that earlier, and it's not lost on me. I don't think it should be lost on anyone that tomorrow is the winter solstice. Look, I'm not going out into the weeds here. I'm saying that everything that they're doing right now has a meaning to it, and it's in our face. So additional draconian lockdowns, plus, and I mentioned this, John, I don't know whether you saw this, on January 5th, New York State is actually going to address and pass a bill, and I believe it'll pass, that creates a quarantine centers for those infected as well as for other purposes to involuntarily hold citizens of the state of New York in these camps. So this is all kind of coming to a head. So the disruption, defanging of our military, the threat by outside forces, the threat from within, all of this is this magical symphony, like orchestration of the destruction of what we're seeing. So I'm calling for a revolution. I don't believe the revolution will be televised, John. We see in Brussels, this uprising in Brussels right now. But, you know, you don't see it on CNN or MSNBC or ABC or even Fox. Or if it's discussed, it's only a couple hundred people. No, it's a lot of people. But we're right now facing, in my view, a revolution. And I think it's inevitable. I think it's necessary. And I think that we're at that point. But I'm looking at this as kind of a big picture thing. Go ahead, John. I don't want to go too far out on.
Well, it takes a lot to get Americans out into the street. It takes a lot. We're now seeing public pronouncements telling parents, don't be worried when your child has a heart attack because we got defibrillators. Where in the world is that coming from?
Yeah, what the fuck is that? You know,
children don't have heart attacks. The tiny 0.1% of children who have heart attacks, their health status is well known to their parents and their doctors, and I doubt that very many of them are in public school anyway, because their health is so fragile to begin with. A child that's at risk of having a heart attack typically is not going to be in a public or private school. They're going to be at home getting homeschooled or being tutored or something, because their health status is well known to their doctors and their parents, and they simply don't go to school. It's a tiny, tiny percentage. But now we have announcements going out in the public schools, don't worry, and also saying that it's normal for children to have heart attacks. Nothing could be further from the truth. I don't know the numbers, Doug, but I think there's about comparable numbers for children that die from lightning as die from heart attacks. I think the numbers are probably roughly comparable without looking at any official statistics. It's so rare as to be almost non-existent. At least it was.
It was.
Before 5-year-olds started being injected with a chemical that damages their heart, which is what's going on.
Yeah, exactly. And we're now seeing, you know, if I may, hey, Eric the Tech, do you have that source video, the second bookmark? John, I want you to listen to this, if you don't mind, because what you just said there is very prophetic, very on the money. This would be at the 107 mark, Eric the Tech. You okay with that? Okay, listen to this, John, and folks, listen carefully to this. We'll let it play for about 2 minutes. And in against the backdrop of what John said, listen to this. Go ahead, sir.
Remember 9/11.
Weapons of mass destruction.
Wrong mark here. There we go. Okay, you're getting to it. All right, there we go.
To understand that if you take COVID-19 vaccines, you are absolutely on your own. If you're permanently injured, if you lose your job, if your healthcare expenses go through the roof, tough luck.
Volunteers all across the country began getting shots today as part of the final phase of testing for an experimental vaccine being developed by the NIH and the drug company Moderna. the side effects for the Moderna vaccine sound concerning. We
this
looked.
Is weasel.
After the second dose, at least 80% of participants experienced a systemic side effect. So are these vaccines safe?
Well, the FDA, not being pressured, will look hard at that. The FDA is the gold standard of regulators, and their current guidance on this, if they stick with that, is very, very appropriate. And you know, the side effects were not super severe. That is, it didn't cause permanent health problems for the things there. They, you know, Moderna did have to go with a fairly high dose, and so you know, to get the antibodies.
This isn't a vaccine story. This is a population management story. If your goal is to make this beautiful earth that we live on an exclusive playground for the entitled few, then populations that get in the way are a problem. And it is the empirical impulses of individuals who have decided that by outranking the rest of humanity, they can dictate upon humanity the conditions of their existence.
All right.
Now we need to go and look in families to find those people who may be sick and remove them and isolate them.
This bill enables the police to enter a home without a warrant. Madam Speaker, the police have never held that power.
We will find out who lives in the house.
If it's someone that is refusing, we will definitely consult with our health officer to look into next steps.
So the sheriff's department and the health department showed up at her door with orders for her and her husband to wear ankle monitors. The couple says they never denied self-quarantining.
You will no longer be able to leave home. Only one person will be able to go shopping once per day. Recreational activity is now no longer allowed. You will be allowed to have 1 hour of exercise.
Okay.
No food.
You can cut that. I let it play a little longer than I should have. But there, you know, what John was saying, you know, about the young children. Did you notice that word salad of Bill Gates? Well, you know what? He never answered the flipping question. And we are subjecting our children to this. And the Dr. Martin did say, well, you know what? In the context of population control and killing the vulnerable and young, hey, it does fit. So, John, you're absolutely right. You know, we're seeing young kids develop myocarditis, pericarditis, and yeah, hey, we better make sure in our school system, you know, that we have the ability to, you know, if they have a cardiac arrest, don't worry, we'll have somebody there. What a bunch of I mean, John, who in the hell? What parent would allow this? Go ahead, sir.
Well, they are. I dated a young woman in the 1970s. She was a legal secretary, blue-collar girl, blue-collar family. She found out that I watched the evening television news, and she told me, John, you're an intellectual because you watch the evening television news. A pretty low standard, I'd say, to be considered an intellectual. But in blue-collar America, that would be a standard to be considered an intellectual, because very few blue-collar people, apparently, at least in this woman's circle of friends and family, would even watch the evening television news as a source of information. If that low standard is considered to be an intellectual within parts of our society, we're in deep trouble. And of course, and obviously, we are in deep trouble in terms of the base of knowledge that Americans have. They don't have a base of knowledge of any consequence. They simply don't. Whenever I go into the public library in my hometown, Steeleville, Missouri, typically I'm the only one in there. There might be maybe two or three other patrons in a town of 1,600 people, the county seat of Crawford County. A friend of mine is opening up a bookstore in Steeleville, Missouri. I wish him the best of luck. I hope he's able to stay open for a year. People don't buy books.
He won't have to worry about looting there, but go ahead.
No. Well, your listeners own and read books. My listeners own and read books. They're the exception, Doug.
Yeah.
And I'm including ink on paper along with Kindle and electronic books. Why not? A book is a book. I like both. I like my Kindle. I like my ink on paper books. But we are maybe 5% of the adults in this country is optimistic in terms of men and women who own and read books. That's not counting the Holy Bible. I know a lot of Christian men and women who will read the Bible but not read anything else. There's nothing wrong with that, but that's their choice, you know.
Right.
It's hard to be well-rounded if you only read one book, even if it is the Holy Bible. A friend of mine remarked when he visited Europe how almost everybody he saw had a book nearby as just a part of their lifestyle was to have a book nearby. As college students used to years ago, always had a book in hand. Now they don't even have books. I was questioning my grandson when he was a college football player. We're going on these large trips, and I was questioning him about taking books so we could study. And he says, "Grandpa, we don't have books anymore. Everything's on a laptop." I guess they can still learn. Obviously, they still can learn. But so getting back to the premise here of parents subjecting their children to having antifreeze shot into their arms, which is what this one of the ingredients of the clot shot, the COVID vaccination, is antifreeze. I think most high school dropouts know that antifreeze does not belong inside human beings. I think that's a pretty common knowledge, Doug. It's not really esoteric.
Well, hang on a second. I'm picking pieces of Tide Pod out of my teeth. You would think, right? But, hey, okay. But
Well, they don't know. Even the medical doctors don't know what they're shooting into people's arms. They don't know there's antifreeze in, because they haven't done their homework either.
Yeah, true.
So they're acting out of ignorance. The majority of medical doctors think that, well, they took the clot shot themselves, and they think they're doing something good for themselves and their patients by recommending people roll up their sleeve and get the clot shot, not knowing that they're injecting antifreeze into these people's arms and other harmful substances that are destroying people's immune systems. The next 3 months, 4 months before spring, I'm already seeing in my neighborhood a dramatic increase in the number of funerals and people dying. Our little hometown newspaper has an obituary page, which always has been one page, sometimes an additional one or two on a second page. Now, as of the last few weeks, we're running a page and a half, 2 pages every week of obituaries. I've never seen that. I've been out here 18 years or so. I've never seen that, Doug, where the whole hometown newspaper basically has a doubling of funerals. We will be seeing that nationwide, by the way, Doug. We're going to have an unprecedented number of people dying in funerals, unprecedented, which unfortunately is going to include children 5 years and older and athletes. We're going to see basketball players dropping over dead, soccer players dropping over dead, football players dropping over dead. And for everyone that dies, there's going to be 10 that are injured to a greater or lesser extent.
So the $64,000 question, John, to you, in the remaining 2.5 minutes we have left, time flies. But the question I have for you then is, will that be enough for people to wake up and say, you know what, I've been lied to, I've been hoodwinked, and now we have to exact some sort of payback? Will that be enough?
Well, that is the $64,000 question, and I can speculate as well as the rest of them. I think what we may see happen would be a warrior who's lost somebody close to them, clearly because of the clot shot, a warrior who has just been diagnosed with stage 4 cancer and can still ambulate and perform various functions physically, decide to take matters into his own hands. That could easily happen. Easily.
And you know what? That might be televised, because, of course, they'll, you know, double down on us as being domestic terrorists, when in fact it is them assaulting us and wanting us dead. John Moore, the Liberty Man, thelibertyman.com. John, about a minute left. It's yours. Whatever's on your radar, whatever you think is important, a message, go ahead.
Well, sir, I do private consultations, details at my website at thelibertyman.com. But ultimately, Doug, this is a spiritual war. That's ultimately what that is. And I encourage people to get their spiritual house in order, to pray without ceasing, and to do that pretty much every day, and it just takes a few minutes. This is a spiritual war. We do eventually win in the end, but there's going to be a lot of death and misery in the meantime. Doug, thank you. We'll look forward to this next Monday.
God bless you, my friend. John Moore, thelibertyman.com. Folks, contact John for your consultation, and pray. Pray without ceasing. Hit your knees tonight. Pray for, just pray. Pray for discernment. Pray for guidance. Pray for the future of our country. Have a good night, folks.